Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
We begin a brand new theme this month. It's very special to me. It's called, I call it Warrior King, Warrior King. We're excited to honor Jesus in a special way as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection season. And so it'll be more self-explanatory as we move forward. We're starting with Revelation chapter 5 today in the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible Word of God that's able to shake you and change you and create an image of God in you that you can be not only saved, but you can be on fire for Him, filled up with Him. Amen. Revelation chapter 5 is where we're going to begin. Says this, verse 5, but one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. How many know Jesus is known from the Old Testament into the New Testament as the Lion of the tribe of Judah? In Acts chapter 13, Paul gives the Jews a history lesson when he's confronted, he's preaching. It says in verse 22, when he had removed him, he raised up for them David, she's talking about Saul there, obviously. When he had removed Saul as king, he raised up for them David as king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. From this Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do my own will, from this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. I want to make a point here because David was not a perfect man. Jesus is. David made a whole lot of heinous mistakes that we read about in the Bible. At times he was a mess. But why did God say this? He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. He'll do what I told him to do. I think that's an important key. I love what it says in the Message Bible there in that verse. Says, he's a man whose heart beats to my heart, a man who will do what I tell him. Isn't that good? And finally, I want to weave in from the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. There's been this ambush revealed against Judah. It's a plan from hell to destroy the people of God. And it says in verse 15, he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor discouraged or dismayed because of this great multitude you're hearing about. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight in this battle, but position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation or deliverance of the Lord. Let's pray one more time. Father, we ask you to open the eyes of our heart today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Lord Jesus, you're the mighty one. We want to honor you as warrior king. We honor you in this place, and we ask you to set the atmosphere and bring a shift in our community, bring a shift in our culture because of your presence and because of your power in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Welcome those of you watching online. We're glad that you're there. We wish you were here. This month, as I said, we're going to honor the Lord. This whole month is just about Jesus. We try to be about Jesus every Sunday. But this month is all about resurrection. It's all about the difference between our God and every other God that claims to be a God. You know, the Word of God is so awesome, isn't it? The Old Testament gives us many types and shadows of the substance we find in the New Testament. Everything in the Old Testament, though, has to be looked at through the lens of the new covenant. At the cross at Calvary, we have to look through everything that's said in the Old Testament to really find the nature, character of God, the whole being of God, the whole thing that God is, his very nature, his very core, his very essence. We have to look not just Old Testament, where you see, all these ites and, the land that were destroyed and all these things. People get the wrong idea about God. We have to look through the lens of the new covenant at what Jesus did at the cross. In fact, too often the religious world has tried to bring shadows of things and paint pictures of Jesus as some sort of wimpy, depressed guy. If you see some of the paintings, some of the Renaissance artwork where, pictures of Jesus, he always looks weak and sad. I just don't find... The Bible says that the goodness of God draws people to repentance. The goodness of God. I was never drawn by thinking of Jesus as some wimpy, weak-kneed sissy. That never drew me. When I gave my life to Jesus at 19, I needed help. I needed a present help in time of trouble. I needed someone strong. And when I started to look at the Word right after I got saved at 19 years of age, I started to see Jesus in light of Scripture, and I started to see things like children running up to jump into his arms and wanting to play. And I saw the disciples as the ones saying, no, stay away from him. He's busy. He's too busy for you. And Jesus saying, no, let the kids come. I want to hang around. Now listen, you can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool children. If you're a weak-kneed, depressed, kind of a broken, just going through in this life, and you hate everything, and you're mad at everything, children want to jump in your arms. They want to get away from you as quickly as possible. It's funny, yesterday at the ball game, I was out there. I didn't get to play, but I got to be out there, and this little guy comes up to me, third grader named Daniel. And I don't want to embarrass his grandparents or his parents or anybody in the room, but Daniel came up and he said, hey, why don't I see you at church? Says to me, I've been here 35 years. I said, well, what's your name? He said, Daniel. I said, well, great, Daniel. Nice to see you. I said, I'm there every Sunday. Where are you? I said, what grade are you? And he said, I'm in third grade. I said, well, you're probably in children's church. He said, yes, I am. I said, well, in a few years, you'll get to come hear me in the adult service, the main service. And he kind of looked at me like he wasn't really happy about that. And I said, Daniel, I could tell he's a good kid, but I could tell, some kids you just tell they're just ornery. two seconds of a conversation, you just know he's, his parents are busy. Let's just put it that way. And so I said, well, Daniel, look, I want to be your friend. And I said, if you come over to the lobby tomorrow, and after service, I said, I go hang out in the lobby after service and talk to people. You can come up and talk to me anytime. He goes, where's the lobby? I said, in the legacy building. And his grandmother said to him, out by the food, by the cafe. And I was like, and it just was like a trippy conversation, but it just reminded me in those moments. There used to be a show when I was a kid. Art Linkletter was a famous old guy. He was a Christian guy, by the way. And he used to do a show called Kids Say the Darndest Things. And he would just do live shots of interviewing kids and asking normal questions and the craziest answers you ever heard in your life. Jesus had an interaction with real people, especially children. And the only people he had a problem with were the religious crowd. He called the Pharisees snakes and vipers. But to everybody else, he relaxed. He wasn't wimpy. He wasn't depressed. They were jumping playfully into his arms. I submit to you that King David, as the great-great-grandfather of Jesus, is a prototype from the Old Testament of both the manliness and the majesty of Jesus the Messiah, a warrior king. Now, you may not think that's an important issue, but I actually think it's crucial in our generation that we know what the Scripture says, that we esteem the Word. Exodus 15:3 from the God's Word translation says this: Moses sees as they pass through the Red Sea, they get on the other side, and all of a sudden, as soon as the last child of Israel crosses over and puts their foot on dry land on the other side of the Red Sea, they look back, and the enemy, the Egyptian army, is coming, Pharaoh included, coming after them through the middle of this ocean that's standing up on both sides. And as soon as the last foot came across, the ocean opened and washed the enemy away. And Moses turns, if you read the Scripture, Moses turns and says, "I feel a song coming on." He starts singing this song: "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. His horse and the rider he's thrown into the sea." He said, "The Lord is God, and I will praise him. My Father is God." This was a revolutionary statement even that Moses made to these people who'd been in bondage for 400 years. He said, "My Father is God, and I will exalt him." And he makes this statement in verse 3: "The Lord is a warrior. The Lord," or Yahweh, "is his name." He said, "My God, I now know some of his nature that I didn't know before. He's a father who fights for his kids. He's a father who takes care of you, who fights your battles, who cares about what you're going through, who understands in all ways as we are. Jesus was tempted, yet without sin. He empathizes with you. He understands. But not only that, he doesn't just go, 'Aw, let's get depressed together.'" "Let's sing Kumbaya by the fire." And he goes to battle. Battle stations. The whole purpose of the whole Red Sea exercise was to prove the faith of the children of Israel and to show them who he was. God wanted to show who he was, where he said, he prophesied. He said, "Moses, tell them, the enemy you see today, you will see no more forever." Wow. What a statement. As a good father, God's nature is to fight for his kids. We talk about peace through strength. My friend, the way in which you celebrate the Lord is the way you'll receive from him. Let me say that again. The way in which you celebrate the Lord is the way you'll receive from him. In other words, you can only experience the full benefits of your relationship with God to the point that you understand and honor the characteristics of his nature. If you believe he's Savior and Savior alone, you can be saved. But if you don't know what you're saved from or saved for, you don't get the full benefit. If you don't know he's a healer, you can be saved and make heaven when you die, but have very sick existence on the earth. He's a healer. He's a Savior. He's a deliverer. He's a baptizer with the Holy Spirit. He's a father. My goodness, even fatherhood, the nature of God as a father has been so under attack. Certain woke denominations, I'm just going to say it. I want to show it to you sometime. I wish you'd look on YouTube And some of you would look at last year's United Methodist Church Convention from last May. I saw it months ago, and I was so grieved I couldn't even tell you. They stood up there and said, "This is John Wesley founded this, and John Wesley's doing backflips and cartwheels in his grave right now." Not literally, for those of you looking for them. They're standing there and saying, if you want a point of order to speak at the conference, you have to stand up and identify your gender identity and your pronouns. So the Methodist leaders, I'm telling you, you watch it. You won't be able to watch 5 minutes without wanting to throw up. And they're saying, they want to remove all of the gender-specific things in the Bible about God being a man or a father, to the point that several people in this thing, in the Methodist convention last year, were calling God she. And I was offended. I don't get offended easily, but I get offended for the word of God. Certain woke denominations have tried to eliminate God's masculinity in the Bible. And it's happening right in our generation. Masculinity, isn't it interesting that masculinity has been so viciously maligned the last maybe 10 years in our society that today we have all these things, all these people apologizing. Can I tell you, manhood has been under constant attack in our world today. But the scriptures are clear. I love 1 Corinthians 16:13 from the Amplified, where Paul the Apostle writes, "Be alert and on your guard, stand firm in your faith, your conviction, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, keeping the trust and holy fervor, born of faith and a part of it. Act like men and be courageous and grow in strength." Some of you know that from the King James. It's quit you as men. Stand up and be counted as a man. And guess what? When we get the understanding of who God is in his nature, that he is unashamedly a man, and we were created as mankind in his image and in his likeness, then we get the whole femininity in women and the masculinity in men comes into order. But when we're so mamby-pamby, wishy-washy, simpy-wimpy, easy peasy about who God is. Right. That's why everything else just is in confusion. My friends, authentic manhood is about courage, strength, and boldness, tempered by love, humility, and compassion. Just before Jesus is sent to the cross, Pontius Pilate says, "I wash my hands of this. I thought you'd want Barabbas to be released. But you want me to crucify Jesus?" He said, "Bring him out here." And he makes this statement, "Behold, look at the man." My friends, Christ-likeness and manhood are synonymous. If you want to be a man, you have to aspire to be like Jesus. There are spiritual realities in this world. There are demonic forces in this world that want to blur the lines of everything. They want to toughen up women and wimpify men. And confusion then keeps everyone weak and fearful. This phenomenon in Scripture goes back to the Old Testament, where we get a type and a shadow that's mentioned in the New Testament. And there was a queen named Jezebel. I'm not going to preach about her, but I'm going to tell you it was a type and shadow of a principality that Jesus in Revelation chapter 2 said, "I see this in future church, that you tolerate that spirit, that woman Jezebel." And you allow her to seduce my servants with immorality. She calls herself a prophetess. And I gave her space to repent, but she would not repent. My friends, when that spirit is released, Queen Jezebel killed the prophets of God and turned her servants into eunuchs. She cut off their manhood. And that spirit still is active today to try to wimpify men. I know it's not a real word, but I made it up. It is now. Trying to wimpify, trying to get us to apologize for being who God created us to be. And I realize that some of you have been hurt by fathers or by brutality in men, in dominating instead of loving and leading. But look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look to Jesus. Don't let that picture that many of you have had be the picture you have of manhood, because that's not what it's supposed to be. Is there a warrior nature? Yes, but a warrior for good. When we properly reset our understanding of God's nature, we are able to recover core traditional moral and spiritual values. Instead of everybody yelling about, oh, the world's getting dark. Oh, it's getting dark. Oh, it's getting dark out there. Oh. The Bible says we're to turn on the light. I saw a thing the other day said, if God can take lightning bugs and light up their butts with a light that he put in there, what can he do with you? Part of seeking first the kingdom of God is understanding the core of the essence of who God is. He doesn't say, well, I'm kind of a gender neutral God. That's not what he says. Now, he is a great liberator of men and women. Somebody asked me recently why we have a couple of our pastors are women. And they're up here on the platform sometimes preaching, teaching, or leading. And I said, well, if you were raised in a denomination that taught you this one little thing out of 1 Timothy chapter 3 that women are to keep silent in the church, that was a cultural and a timely type of situation. We don't allow women to just keep gossiping and talking out loud in the church. That's what that's about. It has nothing to do with leadership. The Bible says that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female, in the sense of equality, equity of calling. Deborah was an Old Testament leader of Israel. She was a woman. And she was a mother and a grandmother, and she resisted. My friends, the scriptures are full of women in the New Testament that were called prophetesses. They were called pastors. They were leaders. A couple of them were even called apostles. We can't limit those things, but that doesn't make it wrong. We've got to get the things back in right order so that we can see God glorified and get the body of Christ back from all this religious nonsense. Our God is alive and he's mighty, and confusion only rules where the word of God is lightly esteemed. That's what the Bible says. This whole year, I've been telling you, I believe we're in a season of a dynamic spiritual reset, and I believe that Jezebel must be thrown down again in our generation. I believe that spirit has to be thrown down by the people of God saying, no, no. Psalm 11:3 says this, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? My friends, the last few years, we've been this close to the foundations being gone. especially when churches and pastors and whole denominations have left the understanding of the Word of God. How we feel about the Word affects everything. The Word of God settles the issue. I love the old bumper sticker. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Everybody say that with me. Say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. One more time. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That was this bumper sticker I saw probably 40 years ago. But it's still, it's basic, foundational, yes. We trust the Word of God. Listen, Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Forever. How long is it settled?
Forever.
It's settled in heaven. I love it in the Message Bible. It says, "What you say goes, God, and stays as permanent as the heavens. Your truth never goes out of fashion. It's as up to date as the earth when the sun comes up." I love that. Recovering biblical masculinity is part of what this reset is about. It involves focusing on serving God, serving family, and serving others. Demonstrating strength and leadership, controlling one's emotions and desires, all while embracing humility and seeking to follow God's design for manhood. Just a few things real quick. I'm not going to preach these. I'm just going to list them for you. Just some core principles to think about. Core principles to think about biblical manhood. Number one, humility before God. Acknowledge God's authority and seek to live a life that honors Him. Basic. Second, control your desires. Here's something nobody's been preaching for a while. Exercise self-discipline. Resist worldly temptations. Just say no. Just change the channel or close out the app or whatever it takes. Number three, protect and provide. As a man, take responsibility for the well-being of your family and those you lead. You know, a lot of churches today, even the church itself kind of looks girly because it's mostly women in the church. Now, it may be women may have great influence and do have great influence, but as I said to you a few weeks ago, the latest statistics I read still say the same thing, and that is that if a woman, a mother and wife gets saved and starts coming to church, 17% of the time, the rest of the family will come in. 17%, that's great. But if a man gets saved, comes into the church, connects with other men, connects with the Lord, and leads the way, over 80% of the time, the family will follow. Why? Yeah, give God praise for that. Think about that. It's because of the way it's set, the influence. Listen, the man, some of you get uncomfortable with this language, but the fact is that man, the husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the house. Now, we know that the husband is the head and the woman is the neck. And the neck turns the head whichever way it wants to look. That's just simple biology. Number four, a man needs to lead and serve. Leadership always comes with service. Lead with wisdom, compassion, and a servant's heart, both in your family and in your community, and people will follow. And five, follow God's design. Strive to live a life that reflects God's ideal for manhood, embracing both strength and sensitivity. Think about what I said in the beginning. David was a man after God's own heart, not because, guys, he cheated on his wife, had her husband murdered, and covered it up. But Saul was the one that was thrown out. And David was called a man after God's own heart, Not because he was perfect, but because he would do the next thing God told him. And even after he messed up, he repented. You read Psalm 51, and you see the depths of this man's repentance as he says, God, scrub me clean. I have messed up again and again. Scrub me clean in your laundry. Shape a Genesis week out of the chaos of my own life. But he would do the next thing God said, taking that next step. Finally, in our text, King Jehoshaphat got the worst possible news. In 2 Chronicles 20, the whole thing is about an imminent mob attack. He gets the word that there are three enemy tribes that are coming together in a conspiracy to set up an ambush to annihilate Judah, to kill all the Jews. How many times have we heard that throughout history? We're going to kill all the Jews. But Jehoshaphat, this great, 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 great grandson of David and this great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus, this warrior king had set his heart as a young man. He'd set his heart on the Lord and following God's ways. So instead of panicking, he led the people and called for a time of prayer and fasting for the whole nation. And he said, folks, if we don't have God in this next season, we're done. We need the Lord to show up. And they set themselves to seek the Lord. And in this time of fasting and praying, one of the psalmists is praising God, and somebody gets the prophetic word of the Lord. And the psalmist says, thus says the Lord to you. Do not be afraid. Number one, don't let fear rule you. If you keep dwelling on everything possibly that could go wrong, you're going down. Don't let fear rule you. Number two, don't let discouragement rule you. Why? Because the battle is not yours. It's God's. He's a warrior king. He goes on in verse 17, he says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Now the word fight there means to engage in physical combat. You're not going to need to go out with guns and knives on this one. He said, you don't need to fight in this battle, but position yourselves, posture yourselves, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now I'll say this, you don't need to fight, but you still have to show up. Let me say that again. You don't need to fight, but you do have to show up. You do have to show up. We say around here all the time in this church for 35 years, all of life's battles are first won in the spirit realm. Everything you're facing in the natural this week ahead of you or last week behind you, everything you're facing in your life has a spiritual component to it. Now, I'm not a super spiritual guy that says you got to pray every time you buy a product and, God, do I buy, you know, Jiffy or peanut, you know, or Peter Pan? Which peanut butter do you like, Lord? It gets ridiculous. But I do believe he orders your steps. I do believe he leads you. But then you have your choice. God, should I get them over easy or scrambled today? I don't know. You have to pray about everything in that sense. But you have to be open. Just be open to God, okay? Don't be a spiritual weirdo. But the spiritual arena is where the invisible battle is taking place, and you either win there or you lose there. The battle is first won in the spiritual arena, and that's part of what we're going to talk about this month. Everything you're facing has a spiritual component, and when you begin to assert yourself to lean into God and trust in Him with all your heart, He will come through. The king hears the word of the Lord, and Jehoshaphat declares this, okay, guys, We are the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. So let's praise God as we approach the battlefield, and let's trust fully in Him. Let's trust in our God is a lion. He's the Lion of Judah. From the Old Testament, from ancient days, Judah was known as a tribe of lions. And the king says, we're going to declare a simple song. And all you have to do is sing this. For He is good, and His mercy endures forever. I don't know how many times they sang it. They might have sang it for 20 minutes. They might have sang it for 24 hours. But in the realm of the Spirit, as they praise God, let me say it this way. Praise in the middle of a battle is the ultimate form of trust. Faith isn't just saying, I believe. Faith is trusting in God, actually believing. When you're in the midst of a storm, when you're in the midst of a battle, when you're going through it, when the enemy is surrounding you. This, remember, this was an ambush. Three nations that hated each other came together over their common hatred of Judah and waited to pounce. But the praise and worship team went in first. Give me some sound. There you go. For He is good. His mercy endures forever. And as they declared that, the goodness of God, the fatherhood of God, the compassion of God, His mercy endures forever. He is good, and His mercy endures forever. What are we declaring? His nature. Here's who God is. He's good. His mercy endures forever. Well, what about all the bad stuff happening in the world today? He is good. And His mercy endures forever. Well, what about all the bad stuff that just happened to me? Somebody just said bad things about me on Facebook. He is good. And His mercy endures forever. He is good. And His mercy endures forever. Most of you know the story. Judah gets out to the battlefield. And that song in the spirit has risen up through the heavens and created such confusion in the enemy's camp and such clarity in the hearts and minds of the people of God that when they get there, the three enemies have destroyed each other. And all they see is dead bodies of the enemy and all of their treasure and food and weaponry and stuff laying on the ground. And the Bible says it took them days to just collect all the spoil. Why? Because praise is a weapon. Not that you said, oh, I'm going to praise God so He... No, I'm praising the fact that I know He's fighting for me. I'm not trying to get Him to fight for me. I'm not trying to manipulate Him to fight for me. I'm trying to twist His arm to fight for me. I'm saying, God, You are good and Your mercy endures forever. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. He is good and His mercy endures forever. And He is moving on your behalf. And He's not forgotten about you. And He's working. He's working. When you don't see it, He's working. When you don't feel it, He's working. When you don't understand it, He's working. He's fighting for you. He's doing. He's never going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to abandon you. He is a man. He's a man. He's the Father. He's the man. He's the Father. He's great. And He shows up. 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 Now and tomorrow and the next day. Give Him praise. Come on, God. We give You praise. We worship You, Father. You're a great Father. You're a great God. We love You. We thank You. You're fighting for Your people. Thank You, Father. Woo! Come on and praise Him a little more. Give Him 30 more seconds of praise. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Take your seat. Our God shows up for us, a warrior king, fights for his kids, and wins every time he shows up, and he will show up. My friends, in our generation, the lion is about to roar for you. Trust him. Believe him. If you don't know him as Father, as Savior, as King, you can know him before you leave this room. You can know him. But you got to open your heart. And you got to ask him. Some of you keep playing games with God like he's just a casual acquaintance. No, no, no. He's a holy, holy God. That's why Jesus had to go to the cross. Because you and I could never be accepted of ourselves. We come in his name. Would you bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment? If you're here today, or you're watching online, and you don't know God, or you, maybe you've known the Lord, but you're not really living for him. You're still playing games. Still one foot in the world, one foot in church, just trying to go through the motions. My friend, no, no, no. This is the day of decision. He's holy. If you're here today, I want to say to you, it's time to repent. Pastor, do I have to be perfect? No, you don't have to be perfect, but you have to be yielded. Submit to God, resist the devil, and that devil will flee. That devil will run away from you, afraid of God, not of you. If you're here today and you want to get right with God and you say, Pastor, I want to know him. I want to know him in that way. Some of you have such a twisted view of Father. Give that to him today too. He loves you. If you're here today, say, Pastor, pray for me. I want you to put your hand up. I'm not going to coax you. I'm not going to wait. To put your hand up in the air and say boldly, I need prayer. I need God. I want to know this God in that way. I want to know the God of the Bible. I want to esteem the Word of God. I want to give him my life. I want to submit to him, his leadership, his presence, his power, his passion. That's what I want. Father, I pray for every hand that is raised, every person whose hand is raised, every person whose heart is open, that you would reveal Jesus to them, for them, and through them today. In Jesus' name. Everybody pray this with me. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. I give you my heart. I submit to you, and I surrender to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you meant that today, then this isn't just a little whoop-de-doo service. This is the moment that you pass from death to life.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you,